everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is certainly moving mightily by His Spirit. The Lord has much to say to His people, and this is a year of correction. Kenneth Copeland said this is a year of correction, direction, protection, and perfection. That just came back to me. He, those four things God will do. And I thank God that that terrible law of Roe versus Wade was overturned. And some people say, I don't like that. Well, I'm glad it happened. I'm here to tell you, a law like that is very divisive against the country. We have to have order. But when you have anarchy, And that kind of wickedness, you know, people are still going to do it. But that kind of law should have never been on the books. But nevertheless, it's just like a law saying you can go and shoot somebody you don't like and nothing will happen. Well, then you don't have a deterrent, and people that's mad at somebody will take the law in their own hands. And then God's going to have to judge you. See, this is how it weakens the country. Anytime people sin, hear me good. Anytime people do any kind of sin, the enemy is not just a tempter. He's also an accuser. He goes and accuses people who sin to God. And then he gets permission to do destruction. And who gave him the permission? Well, people who sin gave him permission. But he accused us before God to cause a judgment to happen. See, when it's kind of like stop. If you buy stock at your most strategic time, you can sell that stock. Well, when people sin, it gives place to Satan. And Satan say, I want to do some destruction. Well, when people are doing right, he can't. But when they're doing wrong, he can. And I can prove it. You know, over and over, it's all throughout the Word of God. When people gave place to the devil, he always, you know, he would tempt Israel. If you study the Judges, he would tempt people to sin. With idolatry. Back then, the big thing was idolatry. It's still, now it's just got another face on it. And as soon as Israel would get in idolatry and in sin and acting like the Canaanites that they should have driven out, then the enemy come with their enemies because they weaken that hedge around their nation. And you don't want foreign soldiers on our soil telling us what to do. But that's going to happen if people give place to Satan enough. But I thank God that things are being overturned to buy us some time so that God can save people in peace. Now, I want to share some other things. The Lord wants to move mightily in our behalf. But don't kid yourself. He's got to judge sin. Just because he's willing to forgive you of all of your sins don't mean that he condones it. He hates it. He just loves you. And I love everybody. I love you. But sin will destroy you. And everything that God has ever done has helped me help others. It helped me, and he helps me and blesses me. And then that helps me to help other people. See, when you share his thoughts and his ways and his love, then you want his will done. God wants to do good towards people. Every time I learn something from him, it helps me to see with open eyes. I see why he said what he said. But see, that you got an enemy out there trying to muddy the waters, trying to cloud the air. So you can't tell what's right and wrong. And good people agree with wrong things. And that's a problem. It's going to be a problem too. You have to trust God on some things. And the Lord is going to keep his word, which means we need to be learning his word and doing it so that we'll be blessed for real. Some people are blessed in theory. They say they're blessed, but they're miserable. That's what happened to the Laodicean church. And they didn't know their condition. And I talk about that sometimes. But how did it get to that point? How did it get so low? The enemy has a plan too. He seeks anybody he can devour. The eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who's perfect toward him, whose heart is perfect toward him. And Satan walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. But he has no covenant. Whatever Satan do, God didn't okay it, okay? Whatever Satan do, it's because he hates us and he hates God. He hates his people. God didn't tell him to go out there and destroy our lives. He did that because he wants to. And anybody that he can tempt, he turned things around in their minds so that they would be an enemy against the people of God. This is not an accident. See, the wrong thinking is a weapon against us. It'll turn you against everybody that love God, and you won't understand it. All you have to do is love the world somewhere. Love what's wrong. You'll be an enemy, all right. And then so will anybody. That's why we have to stay in the love of God. Now, if you can understand the warfare that's real and the motivated enemy that we really do have that you can't see, a lot of things will start making sense in the Word of God. Because the Lord didn't ignore your invisible enemy, Satan. And he didn't ignore problems that come about because people choose evil. And they do things that they shouldn't do. And then it puts them in a vulnerable position. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "And the angel of the Lord of the church, and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." This is Jesus talking. He said to the Laodiceans, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, or I will spit you out of my mouth, or kick you out of my kingdom. And you'll have nothing to do with me. And I have nothing to do with you." That's what he's saying. Verse 17 says, "Because thou sayest," now this is their assessment, the Laodicean church, "because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." This is the state of being of people who have drifted away from the life of God. They drifted because they got seduced by seducing spirits, because their love walk fell away. They began to love trouble. They began to love things that the world is doing. Don't underestimate the fact, the ways of the world around us. He said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Now, this is the counter. God always give a counter. He didn't just leave them out there hanging in their deception and in their rebellion. Verse 18 says, "I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich for real, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you might see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now see, God, this shows that God loves everybody. He don't hate the Laodicean church. He loves them. But when it comes to righteous judgment, they will be judged. When people go to hell, God still loves them. He don't hate them. But they hated the things of God because they allowed the darkness of the world in their heart. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. They did things the wrong way. And they condoned it, and they advised it. And that was, they were influenced by it, and they influenced others to do the same thing. They become corrupt. Now, when a person gets in any kind of sin, at first to them it may seem fun. They may feel like they're getting over. They may feel happy about what they've done. They may brag about it. But over time it gets boring. But then they're trapped. And while they're trapped, since they don't know it, it hardens the heart against the things of God. And when they see people's lives working that love God, that's designed to give them hope that this is the way. See, the world system don't have a door. It doesn't have an exit sign. You don't see how to get out of it. But when you see people living the life of God, that suggests that you can live the life of God. When God is blessing others, he wants to bless you. And you see people, they love. What do they have in common, the people that's blessed God's way? They walk in the love of God. They do what Jesus did. They say what Jesus said. They love their family. They protect their children. They give their children good advice. They go to the park. They enjoy the beautiful days. They don't overwork so that they can spend time with their family. They live in harmony. See, everybody don't have to have an evil attitude. And don't let your decision to love God be based on how other people treat you, because I promise you, if you live in this world, eventually somebody's not going to treat you right. And it's because you're doing right. So if you want a good life, do it God's way. And don't fight your own battles. Let God fight for you. If people have evil intent against you, he will separate them out of your life. If they have good intentions towards you, then he'll show it to you. But if people see, the Lord said, touch not my anointing, do my prophets no harm. He meant it. But when people take it upon themselves to do wrong, then God's going to protect his people. That's how it is, folks. And that's the way it is. God loves us. And see, he's setting us up to be a blessing, and the enemy tries to interrupt us so that we can't be a blessing to others. He wants our life to look cloudy. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. God loves his people. And when he gave me that vision years ago and said, let not my people lack knowledge, I became motivated to do things like this. I don't care if I don't make a profit off of it, a financial profit off what I do. I'm concerned about, that's why the website I do is free. Because I remember I was blessed by men of God, and I didn't have money to buy books, tapes, and CDs because of my situation. I like I said in another broadcast, when I first started my first business, I was a trained auto mechanic, but I was not a businessman. And it took time for me to learn how to run a business. But this is one thing that I would do. I live by the principles of Jesus. If I did something, if it was my fault, I'd stand behind it. People didn't have to run me down. If I find out, or if they call me and tell me something I did didn't work right, I went back and checked it. And I gained a great customer base. But I didn't charge enough. I really did. And a lot of people, they needed help, and I helped them. So I knew that they didn't have all the money that it cost to fix. I fixed the car anyway. If somebody called me, I'd fix their car. Now I had to start. The Lord got on me about that. He said, "You got to charge." Some people were shamming. Some people really needed help. I didn't mind helping people, but some people were shamming me. But I did right by them. I prayed for them. I did what I could do. God bless me. I survived it. But I had to learn some business lessons as well. The Lord gave me this dream showing me that everything he made can take care of itself. And it's not your responsibility to take on other people's responsibility. You're to fix the car and let them pay you. And he taught me things. He said, if you fix that car and they're supposed to be working and they're supposed to be paying you, if you do for them, they're going to look to you and not me. God wants you to look to him. He supplies you, not Thurston. And see, a lot of Christian businessmen fail when they take on other people's responsibilities. Our responsibility is to take care of our little children and our parents when they get older, and leave an inheritance for our children and grandchildren. Everybody else, they got to pay up. That's how it is. And so, now when it comes to the gospel, Jesus said, freely I've given you, freely give. So, I do that. It's not about money. Now, ministry needs money, and there are people who help me. And I need the help. I didn't say I didn't need it. But some people are just getting started. See, when the apostles preached to the Gentiles, the Gentiles, they went for a while without paying tithes and offering. They wasn't used to that. Like the Jews were. The Jews took an offering about every time they went to the temple. And they paid tithes and offering. They had it, and God prospered them because of that. Because if you do it in the right attitude, it's right. And it's something God can bless. Anytime you do something of faith, You're doing something God can bless. Whenever you do something of faith, especially tithing is worship. If you do it right, I hear people say, I've been so blessed since I've been tithing. And they bank on it. They believe on it. They speak it. They trust to do it. And they thank God for the principle. And then there are others. They say, I tried tithing. It didn't work. Well, it does work. Is why are you doing it? Are you doing it to satisfy somebody else? Are you doing it because you were coerced? Or are you doing it because you love God and the ministry needs the finances? When you bring your cousin to the church or your friend or your spouse and you come to a nice warm building in the wintertime or a nice cool building in the summertime, the lights are on, the people are, everything is nice, and you can sit down and hear a message that will change your life. That is valuable. That you can't put a price tag on. If they make a decision for Jesus, don't you understand? They're going to live forever. And they're going to impact the lives of many people along the course of their life. Every single one who love God. So when you do things in order, see, if you listen to people who love trouble in the world, they're going to downplay everything of God. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, the day will come when they'll speak evil of the things of God. And man, it's going to interfere with people's lives. So in the next few broadcasts, I'm going to show you the heart of God as God revealed it to me. You know, these broadcasts, see, the Lord's about to return. And I'm gonna expose the sham that Satan put against us, all the seducing doctrines that people have taken on. I'm gonna expose them for what they are. It's up to you to do your own research and seek the Lord for yourself. Because the Lord is coming back. When he come back, it's gonna be trouble down here. You know, I heard that this country alone aborted more than 60 million unborn babies. And God is not pleased with that. The devil did this so that he can attack this country. But guess what? Satan is a liar. And you know, that. See, the war of Zechariah hadn't happened yet. Don't you understand? Before long, a third of mankind is going to be killed. You don't want World War III to start, and it's going to. And when it does, one third, my friend, of the population on this planet will be dead. Now, how does Satan do it? He can't just kill a third of the population. But the murders, not just abortion, murders, hatred, wars, unjust wars, wrongdoing, drugs, sex trafficking, it's gonna merit death. It's gonna merit death. That's what it's gonna do. That's why a third of the population is gonna be destroyed. A third of the population. That means you can start at Canada and walk all the way across America, all the way down throughout South America, and never see a single person. This is going to be, and don't think you're going to get to, everything's going to be like this. It's going to be hard. You're not going to be getting gas supply, oil supply, food supply when the world is on fire. Not to mention the nuclear fission that's going to, the fallout. You ain't seen nothing yet. But see, God spared us. That's why it's so important for people to do it God's way. When Israel did right, their enemies didn't bother. Their enemies didn't even think about bothering. But once they got in sin and start giving their children to Molech and making offerings to Baal and doing Baal worship, Baal was a sex religion, and doing all this evil, then they not only did they get attacked by other countries, they got kicked out of the land that God gave them at the Exodus. So before this is over with, things are going to drastically change. Not to mention what will become visible. You know, all the UFO sightings. See, when Satan fell, a third of the stars fell with him. He's got enemies not from around here. Not to mention the giants of old will return. All this is, you'll see, don't get raptured. You don't want to be here when all this happens. The Lord has given me one dream about a giant, and it wasn't good. And, but, you know, these things is in our history, but people tried to screw up history. Because when these things return, this is why people are going to give their allegiance to the Antichrist. He's going to seem like the problem solver, which he started this. The spirit of Antichrist started all the problems. I'm going to tell you, just like it, flat-footed as I can, the Antichrist spirit started all the problems. And this is his strategy. He starts a problem that's bad and solves it with a solution that's half as bad. That's what Hitler did. That's what Stalin did. When, in the days of Hitler, he took up the guns. Then he paid people to go out and riot. Well, he paid people to go out and start riots and fights. Hitler did. Then he promised them a world without guns, so he took all the weapons. Then he sent in the soldiers and had martial law. And if you didn't speak right about Hitler, you died. If you didn't say Heil Hitler like they do, and like the Gestapo's do, if you said anything about him, they'll kill you and your family. And people had to say he was the greatest person on earth all the time, everywhere he went. But that's fear. You don't want to live that way. But that's what the Antichrist is going to produce. He's going to, things that you never seen before. Jesus said men's hearts will faint because of the things that come upon the earth. Not to mention the locust that's going to torment people who take the mark. Now all this can be avoided. Jesus said that in the churches, he said, I will spare you from the hour of temptation. That's a promise, folks. That's a living promise. That's why the rapture, I was concerned about the rapture and how all this works. I was taught that the we would be raptured before the Antichrist appear. And I believe that because I can't see the Antichrist coming with a strong church on the ground. And the Lord said, I'm moving you out of my way. In other words, he's not rapturing us to protect us from the Antichrist. Remember something. We have full authority over Satan and all the works of the devil. Luke 10 says it. All we have to do is speak words, folks, and tell Satan he can't do this or that, and he has to obey us. But he's moving us out of his way so that he can judge the earth. And he's going to judge it. And he has a purpose. He's going to restore Israel in those days. Now, the Lord has been misrepresented by cold religious thoughts that's not of him. And we're going to cover that next time. We're out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ.